Welcome to Defined by Moments. As today's beliefs and behaviors determine who we become tomorrow, this moment, right now, is how we learn to live better so that we can lead better. Now, let's turn it over to Dr. Joel Medley for today's lesson from God's Word.
Here at Defined by Moments, we are about to wrap up our special series called Shepherd Leadership. This is the next to last component of what we're going to look at, and I'm really excited about our final one, but that episode will come out next. But grab those Bibles and let's go to Psalm 23. Again, this is quite frankly probably the most recognizable passage of Scripture. And as we have done in all of these, we're going to read this, but we are specifically going to focus today on verse 5. So let's read together through the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So we have talked about, you know, how David, in authoring this, is the king. He has everything, but he says, I am a sheep, and I have a shepherd that I have to follow. And in this entire section, he has focused not on the sheep, but he's focused on what the shepherd does for those sheep. You know, we ended in our last section looking at the things that he does for them by focusing on, you know, the rod and the staff, and how, you know, even though they can be defensive weapons, they can also be turned, you know, to look at an offensive weapon, and their specific structure that the shepherd would use in the example specifically was in the rodding of the sheep. Well, here for verse 5, we're going to look at support. Now, what is amazing in this section is David has provided this wonderfully expressive example of the natural state of this relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. But he is the author, as you will find in any author's prerogative, is he is going to take a poetic turn. So we would not see sheep that would eat at the table, but we would. We as humans would. So as us being sheep, David is going to take everything that he has applied so far and use that as a wonderful example. So it's going to kind of fit within the context. But I want you to notice something here. Notice very clearly what David does. He goes, you have prepared a table for me. Now, we often think, wow, that's just great. We have this table, but we can't stop there. Keep reading. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David is going to provide a caution, and he's going to give us a solution. Now, one of the things that we miss within our modern context is the expression that he's talking about here. Why would someone be preparing a table in the presence of someone else's enemies? Well, there was a custom. It is still alive and well today in certain parts of the world, that if a guest enters your home, they come under the protection of that person in the home. So theoretically, if I was a murderer and I had committed the murder of someone and I am fleeing the presence of those that are pursuing me, if I am offered sanctuary in someone's home, if I am the guest at a meal, those seeking vengeance for my murder could do nothing but stand outside and watch as I eat. Once I leave the protection of that home, I am fair game. But while I am in that home, I am considered under their care. You know, you're getting food, you're being provided shelter, you're getting protection. But think about that hospitality. You know, it's not one of those things that we see much anymore. With everything that is currently going on with the COVID-19 pandemic, I mean, people are discouraged from being in the homes of others. So this aspect of hospitality is somewhat becoming foreign to us. But there's also hope for the guest. The hope is maybe those that are pursuing me because of the crime that I've committed are eventually going to tire and leave. But think about it. You know, I said earlier that this is something that, you know, we see even in our modern times. I don't know if you have read the book or if you have seen the movie Lone Survivor about a small team of SEALs that were in country, ran into some issues. Only one of them survived, but he was in the home of someone in that country. And the forces seeking him wanted, and that individual said, no, he is my guest. He is under my protection. You cannot have him. This is what's being talked about. This is the custom of the table. So how does this apply to all of this with this context of a shepherd and sheep? Back up to verse 4, where we talked about the shadow. You can be going through a very rocky terrain. You're down in the valley. It is getting dark. The shepherd hasn't yet gotten you where he needs to in order to spend the night. But what's happening? He, in essence, is preparing you. He's getting you to the place where you're going to be able to feed. He's getting you to the place where you will be able to get refreshment from water. And that is going to be in the presence of the enemy, because there are predators that are around. This is wonderful artistic license. It's a poetic piece that ties back to the culture that those reading it back then would have immediately grasped what was taking place. But we often miss it. That's the kind of support that the shepherd provides for you and I. You think about our modern time, there is a lot that is taking place that we don't understand. There's so much that we can't comprehend, and at times we don't feel safe. But guess what? Our shepherd is with us. And as long as he is with us, he has been honoring to us because he loves us. He is providing us hospitality, and he gives us hope for the future. So David doesn't stop there. So not only do we see that a table is prepared in the presence of the enemies, but now he immediately turns around and shifts right back to this wonderful picture of a shepherd and a sheep when he says, "You anoint my head with oil." Now, when we talk about oils in the modern times, you know, I'm not referencing these essential oils that you can put in, you know, these vaporizers that'll put the scent up in the air, or that you rub it here. That's not what I'm talking about. For this specific aspect, the shepherd would have used oil back then to remove irritants. Boy, that is a powerful symbol for us. It's a powerful symbol of care, concern, honor. You know, you could use oil to anoint the king. You could use oil to help bandage a wound. You would be able to use oil to prevent certain things. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But this is a wonderful picture. It's not only just that, you know, with the custom of the table, there's a caution here because someone is after me, but the solution is that I'm within the family and I'm in that home. Here, we're going to see there are frustrations, but we're also going to see that there's devotion to resolve those frustrations. Now, what am I talking about? The flies, at particular points in the Middle East, during this time period, would just become awful. The one that would torment the sheep more than anything else was the nose fly. And when they would swarm around a sheep and buzz around the head, literally what they're trying to do is they're trying to get into the nose of that sheep so that they could then, you know, lay their eggs. Why? Well, because the nose is moist. The nose is warm. So this would be a perfect place for those flies to be able to lay those eggs. Now think about what happens when those eggs hatch and the little larva comes out and you've got those little bugs crawling all in the nose. It would drive a sheep mad. So not only do you have this issue with the nose fly trying to, you know, lay its young there, but the other issue that is important for us to understand is that as these flies would be swarming around the head of the sheep, well, the sheep doesn't doesn't have arms like we do, that they can just swat around or they can go grab a fly swatter and start killing some of these things. There's no way for them to do that. Their only truly defense mechanisms that they had were to go try and hide in the brush. You know, even in the modern times, flies do not like darkness. If you've got a fly in the house that you can't kill and you can't get it to one specific location, if it's at night, turn every light off in the house except one room, and that's where that fly is going to go. And you'll be able to grab your fly swatter and deal with it. So what would happen is these sheep would try to go into these darker places, the brush where there were briars, and they would often get cuts. And they would be bleeding, which would mean the shepherd would need to go retrieve them and use the oil to treat those wounds, to be able to seal them up, to prevent some kind of dirt or other things to get in it that would cause an infection. But there was another thing that the flies would do. This is one I've never seen. I read about this in a scholarly article, and it just made me scratch my head. But they would literally ram their heads into the ground, or they would ram their heads up against a post. Why? Because that movement is what would get the fly away from their nose. Once again, what happens? That causes an injury to that sheep. So the shepherd, as these swarms would become an issue, would also be treating these, you know, these wounds that had been created, but he would then go to deal with the source. What he would do is he would then take that oil to put it around the nose of the sheep in order to prevent those flies from gaining access to the nose. So in other words, he's no longer just reacting, he's being proactive. But the amazing part to this is that oil will eventually dry out and will eventually evaporate, which means that the shepherd doesn't just support them once. He continually goes back to check on them, to provide them additional medicine to address the issue of the flies. So we see this table in the front of the enemies. We see that there's oil that is being placed on the sheep to deal with the irritants, but there is a third one here, where David says, "My cup overflows." Again, context of the culture matters here. If I had you in my home and I wanted you to stay and I noticed that your cup was empty, what I would do to you is I would pour that drink into that cup. And if I put enough in it that it would spill over from the cup, oops, I'm sorry, I made a mess. That's what we would say in our modern time. Or a parent would jump all over a kid for spilling, you know, the milk or whatever else. But in that culture, the overflowing cup was a symbol that you are welcome here. If I was really offended by something or someone, and I saw that piece, I would give them just about a third of the cup or a half a cup. I wouldn't feel it was overwhelming. In other words, it is a symbol that is saying to you, your aspect of welcoming is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. So by default, it's time for you to go. The shepherd here, in setting up this table in the presence of the enemies, after leading them through the shadow, after preparing them and fighting for them and protecting them, after providing this oil to deal with the irritants that come up in the life of the sheep, that shepherd is saying to them, you're always welcome with me. Think about what leaders need to do to make sure that their people know and understand you're always welcome with me. Do you have individuals that drive you up a wall that you need to lead? Absolutely you do. But what are you doing intentionally to show that person that you're still one of mine, you're still welcome, and I'm going to extend hospitality to you? If you're not, then I would call you to go look in the mirror and ask yourself, am I a shepherd or am I more on a cattle drive? Because those are two very different aspects of leadership. So three lessons that we can walk away with from this one verse in Psalm 23, verse 5. The first one is that small irritants, if left alone, can wreak havoc for everyone. Go back to what I talked about with those flies swarming around the head of the sheep. how they're banging their heads on a post or on the ground or doing something to try and get them away. Those small irritants can cause significant damage. So what you have to do is you have to remove those irritants when they're small. Otherwise, it becomes a major issue. The example that I have always used with others is snowball versus an avalanche. There could be a small issue between you and someone else. Deal with it then. Yes, you might get hit in the face with a snowball, and it's going to sting. But as long as that's all it is, you can deal with the sting. But if you let that issue sit there and grow and grow and grow and grow, and then it transforms from a snowball to an avalanche, the avalanche will kill. So it's important for us to deal with the small irritants so that they do not wreak havoc on everyone else. Number two, although maybe frustrated by followers, a leader must remain devoted to them. If you don't have people, then you're not a leader. If you don't have people, you're alone, and you're not doing anything. The only progress that we can truly make in our world today is with others. So if you're annoyed by the people that have chosen to follow you, what does it say about you as a leader? It certainly shows that you're not honoring them as guests. It certainly shows that you're not, you know, giving them hospitality. And quite frankly, if those aren't taking place, you are not offering hope. So my question to you is, when you get frustrated, how do you continue to show your devotion to those individuals? That intentionality is what will set you apart as a shepherd leader. And then thirdly, what you do in the home has an influence on wider society. Thinking, Joel, where in the world do you see that here? I mean, what you do in the home has an influence on wider society? Really? Let's back up to this example. Preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Let's go back to the example. Maybe I have killed someone, and I am being afforded hospitality by this homeowner while those seeking my life are out there waiting for me. Maybe that homeowner has an opportunity to be able to get me to see what I did wrong and then go out there and serve as a mediator with them that are seeking my life. And, well, you know what? This really isn't the right way. There's a law that should be followed. We need to follow this piece. What you do in the home matters. Because not only would that guest have been there, but the entire family would have been. And the family would have watched what the leader of that home was doing. What you do in your home has an influence on wider society. Do you think a shepherd is not going to look after his own family, but he's just going to care for the sheep? He's going to remove those small irritants. He's going to be there to support them and protect them, you know, from those that would be causing them harm. Do you think a shepherd is only going to do that for his sheep and forsake his family? No. What he's doing for those sheep would have been shaped by what he did for the family because of who he is. It goes back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. So my question to you is very simple. Are you dealing with the small irritants? Are you looking at your life and seeing the areas that you are struggling as a leader? And are you dealing with them? Not just for the sheep, not for those that follow you in the workplace, but for the benefit of your family. Because what you do in your home will shape future generations. Psalm 23 and verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Thank you for listening to Defined by Moments, where we discuss topics showing that how we live determines how we lead. Hope to have you back in the not too distant future, and you take care.